morning.
Now we're going to come to a time of centering and focusing our worship on this glorious Easter day. For God so loved the world. So just focus, and as we get ready to worship, enjoy.
Try this again. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome, everyone, on this beautiful Easter morning. It's good to see all of you. The flowers this morning are happy birthday in heaven to B.B. McClure. Love the McClures in the Knolls, and they are pretty. we extend a warm welcome, and if you are a visitor this morning and you'd like more information about our church and what we do and who we are, please see one of our ushers after church. Before you leave, there will be no adult study tonight. We will resume next Sunday. This Tuesday, April 22nd, Queen City Ringers will be here. For any of you that have been and heard the Queen City Ringers, it's a fantastic musical, and it just lifts your spirits. If you haven't been, this would be a good time to come and enjoy it. We are going to collect for the Great Hour of Sharing. It's been more than 70 years we've been collecting for this. And it comes to this, that a little adds up to a lot in helping many. Parents, that your children filled the little fish things, they can be put in the offering. Also, you can place your offering in the plates at the communion table or in the narthex. And there's also a QR code that's available. Thank you for supporting our mission here at Cook's Church. Please stand and join us as we pass the peace.
Peace, brother.
Thank you.
Just follow my cue. You see it.
Yeah. First, run that by my
and then we're going to bring the instruments in.
Yeah.
Okay, David. We have a great God. Amen.
Amen.
Today we celebrate, we rejoice because we are free, we are redeemed. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Oh my goodness. Everything who we are as believers is because of this day. We are free. No more than, nothing has us anymore. We are one in Christ. Praise hallelujah. Praise hallelujah.
Praise hallelujah.
Praise hallelujah. Yeah, that's my word. All right, let us stand and sing our first hymn, Christ the Lord is Risen Today.
Amen. Amen.
Come on, if we can't get excited about today, something is wrong. Amen? Amen?
Amen?
All right, there we go. Just checking. This next song the choir and I are going to do first, because this is a new song and you don't know it, but we're going to rock the house. This is called My Redeemer Lives. We're going to go through it so you can hear it, and then we'll start it again from the top. I know He rescued my soul. His blood has covered my sin. I believe. I believe. My shame He's taken away. My pain is healed in His name. I believe. I believe. Amen, amen.
Morning, y'all.
Good morning.
Please join me in today's call to worship. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The tomb is empty and hope is alive.
Death has been defeated. Love is won.
Come, let us worship the risen King.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen indeed. Amen.
Let us continue in prayer. Risen and living Lord, this is the day you have made and in which we rejoice. We come this morning with hearts full of wonder, gratitude, joy, just excitement, because the grave could not hold you and death did not defeat you. The stone has been rolled away. The tomb is empty. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Lord, we confess that sometimes we live like Friday people, weighed down by fear, by sorrow, by sin. But today calls us to live as Easter people, people of hope, people of the resurrection. Fill this place with your holy and everlasting presence, just as you fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Fill our mouths with songs of praise. Let this hour of worship shake us from our routines and awaken us again to the power of your love and the victory of your life. May everything we say and do this morning declare the good news that still echoes through history. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. And because he lives, we live also. We pray this in the name of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. Amen. The Bible speaks to us as it meets us on this day, saying that if we say that we have no sin, that we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But the Bible goes on to give us great news and great cause for hope, saying that if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of any and all unrighteousness. It's for that reason we boldly step forward, issuing the words of the prayer of confession found in this bulletin, as well as taking a moment of silent confession in which we bring to the Lord our own individual messes. But all of those messes combine and find their purpose in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. So I invite you to boldly pray with me the words of the prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Risen Lord, even on this day of joy, we confess that we have not always lived as Easter people. We cling to fear instead of faith, hold on to sin instead of grace, and forget that you have made all things new. Forgive us, Lord. Roll away the stones in our hearts and raise us to new life, that we may walk in the joy and freedom of your resurrection. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Friends, I declare to you this wonderful truth. It's a truth that can never be taken from us, never be robbed away from us, no matter what. The good news is this, that Christ has died, that Christ is indeed risen, and the good news is that Christ will come again in glory. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven today, forever, and into eternity. And it's in his name. Amen. Now let us rise with, as forgiven people, with joy in our heart to sing what it is we believe in the creed.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's in us, and He died. Daddy, I like that. That looks good. Hi, girlfriend. Y'all look so pretty and handsome today. You're outnumbered, my man. Good thing, right? All right. Come here, baby. All right, we're gonna do this in just a second. All right. Do you know what today is?
Easter.
It's Easter. So we're going to do a little bit of the Easter story, okay? I have a puzzle here, and we're going to go through it. So, this has palm leaves on it. Can you see that? That is what we celebrated last Sunday, Palm Sunday, when Jesus came into Jerusalem and on a donkey, and they waved palm leaves as he was coming in. And then we know that Judas betrayed him. And then Jesus on Thursday washed the feet of the disciples. And then this is what we celebrated on Thursday. They ate the bread and the wine, and Jesus said, "Take this in remembrance of me." And then what are these? Are those flowers? He went to the Garden of Gethsemane. I never can say it correctly. I know. When he was done, his disciples found him, and he had fallen asleep. Then they woke up, and Jesus had been arrested. They were not nice to Jesus. They then took him and hung him on a cross. And then, when back in the day, they would wrap up everyone in white cloth. That's why out on the cross you see the big white cloth. And then they put him in the tomb, and they rolled this big, big rock in front of it so he couldn't get out. But what happened? Jesus got out. He rose from the dead. And that's what this egg says. He is risen. And today he lives in your heart. In your heart, and yours, and all of your hearts. So can you pray with me? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for rising, for loving us, and for dying for our sins. We thank you for all that you do for us. Amen. All right, thank you. And if you have your money for the hour of sharing, you can put it in here. We'll just put that with it. You just put it right next to it. There we go. All right.
I just want to take a moment before we get started with the scriptures to really thank the choir and our guest musicians for their work, not only today, but I'll tell you, for those of you who were able to be with us on Maundy Thursday, the choir did a piece, Donne Nobis Pacem, from the piano. It was just, you really felt the Holy Spirit, just like you did there. Really moving and informing us that God is alive. That's what we're here to celebrate today. We never should lose sight of it, but we do, don't we? Oftentimes we get so caught up in our day-to-day lives that we forget that we're an Easter people, that we're a people that believe that there is a story to be told about us that lies beyond our graves, that our death doesn't represent the final end, the final omega, but that God in Christ has shown us what he's going to do through Jesus. And Jesus coming out of the tomb this day, this Easter Sunday so many years ago, it fills us with confidence and it fills us with great hope as we approach the scriptures to hear the good news directly from the Word of God. You know, we as Presbyterians are people of the book. That's what they call us. The Bible means something to us. So we search it out and seek its wisdom and want to hear it afresh, especially as we come into this glorious season of Easter. Easter, we're reminded, isn't just a day, isn't just a moment on our calendar. It is an all-encompassing awareness that Christ has died, and yet Christ is risen, and we will have confidence in our resurrection through him until that day comes when we do die. But we die to rise to new life. New life in our in and through the Son's power by God's grace in the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we come approaching the scriptures, desirous of hearing a word from him. But before we do, we pray for illumination. Join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father, we just rejoice this Easter Sunday as we gather around your word to hear it, to love it, to embrace what your Spirit says to us through this reading of your word. The Bible reminds us that the words of men will change, but that the word of God is eternal, that not one jot, not one tittle will ever be taken from it. So, Heavenly Father, as we read your word, allow it to swell within our hearts, kicking out the darkness and sin, and filling us with your joy, a joy that comes through service to others as we know that our lives are kept safe in Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being. It's in his name we make this prayer. Amen.
Good morning. Happy Easter, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm going to be reading Psalm 118, verses 1 through 2 and 14 through 24. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's hand has done mighty things. The Lord's hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die, but live. I will proclaim that the Lord has done. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading is a familiar one, read every Easter as it comes to us from the Gospel of John. I read to us verses 1 through 18. I invite you to hear this word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb, crying. As she wept, she went over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We've made it through the 6 long weeks of Lent in which we have examined our sin and looked at ourselves ever more closely. And we come now to the joyous time of Easter, a time in which we Christians celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, not only what that means for us, but what it means for the world. We come to the day with joy, and I'll tell you what, it's always fun to come into a sanctuary at Easter because it smells like Easter, doesn't it? We've got we're redolent of the scent of lilies here in the sanctuary. And the lilies remind us, don't they? They serve as a visual reminder of Christ rising from the tomb. We remember that this day, especially on Easter Sunday, that we are, in fact, Easter people, that our lives are lived with the sure knowledge that our life doesn't come to an end at our graves at the moment of our death. But that's just one of the many blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. There are, of course, many others that we get to. One of the things that really is important to me, and I hope I'm doing a good job of it here, is that I really want Christians to be able to answer the big question. Because out there, unbelievers have one big overriding question that's in their minds that they're always seeking to solve. We believe that because the Bible tells us that we're created in God's image. And because of that, parts of us always yearn for God's presence. It's an ongoing need. Now, many of us blunt that. Many unbelievers blunt that with a host of things of the world. But deep down, they want to know, why are we people coming to church on Sunday? They want to know very clearly, why are we Christian? And sometimes we don't always have the best answer for it. Sometimes we look and point to the resurrection and say, hey, we're going to have eternal life. And that's certainly a good place to begin. But there are other reasons we celebrate Jesus this Sunday. Reasons that make it so that we can't lose. I say those words very cautiously because I know when you hear the proposition, you can't lose, you might think, oh my gosh, I've heard this. This sounds like something from Ron Popeil with the Ronco food dehydrator. If I act now, I'll receive not one but two, right? When we hear that, you can't lose. You can't lose. Well, you can't lose in Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you. And I'll never forget the first time I heard that phrase, you can't lose, used directed at me, you can't lose, directed right at me. I was in my early 20s and a friend and I were exploring New York City when we came across a young man, and he was younger than we were, so we were in our 20s, he must have been 17 or 18. We came across a young man who was sitting in front of a chessboard. Now, my friend Mark and I, you know, we were a little confident and all of the over kind of arrogance that you expect to be in your early 20s. And so he was offering us a game. And I remember he looked at us and he goes, ah, a couple of sharp looking guys like you, you can't lose. You can't lose. So play me some chess. So my friend Mark went ahead and in stunningly fast fashion, he lost. But the guy wasn't going to let us go, having been beaten. He's like, oh, no, okay, you see what I'm doing now, so now you really can't lose. And I thought, okay, yeah, now it's my turn. I took my chances, I put my money on the table, and then I lost even faster than my buddy Mark had lost. It was truly embarrassing. But he kept saying that. He's like, but you can't lose. You know my strategies. You know what I'm doing. You can't lose. You can't lose. And, of course, what did we do? We kept losing. Until we finally wised up. Well, I'm here to tell you something that I hope you won't hear with the eyes of a jaded world, but with ears, rather, of a jaded world. But I'm here to tell you, you can't lose in Jesus Christ. You really can't. When you really understand the way the scriptures work and how the Bible speaks to us, you begin to realize that you just can't lose in Jesus Christ, no matter what. You know, the Bible tells us, unfortunately, that this world broken by sin is going to bring problems into our lives. In fact, one of the dominant metaphors for troublesome times that the Bible gives us is like being in the rain. And Jesus even tells us in Matthew 5:45, "For God makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and the unjust alike." So I want you to understand that we can lose things in Jesus Christ. We can. We can even lose people temporarily. But if we're to hear the good news really recorded in Scripture, what we're going to find is a truth that will never leave us and never forsake us, that we can't lose in Jesus Christ. We just can't lose in Him. We can't lose in Him because He's gained the eternal victory over even death itself, which we celebrate this Easter. But I know there's more to it than that, because as Jeannie was saying in Sunday school, we may be okay with our deaths, but none of us are seeking them actively as we speak. We as Christian people, even sometimes want to put that belief off into the future and do that we will rise again, as important as that is. But Jesus doesn't promise us a rose garden while we're here. And part of that is because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. As we took that first step towards sin, we broke the universe in a way and led to an ejection from the Garden of Eden, which led us away from the tree of life, which led us to our mortal selves as we have them today. If we're to listen to the Bible, sin is never far from death, and death is never far from sin. That's why we celebrate the victory of Jesus Christ. You can't lose in Him. And in this world, the Lord our God calls us to pick up our crosses. We're not to have necessarily the easiest lives if we're to listen to Scripture, are we? We're to have challenging lives, but made joyful by the ongoing presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible promises us that as we proclaim the risen Savior, as we do the good deeds of this that the world so desperately needs, we will draw scorn and opposition. We will be pushed against because our belief is so staggeringly different than the beliefs of the world around us. I'll never forget my buddy Nate. Nate works for one of the major banks in the Charlotte region, and he is a man of great faith. A staggering faith. He knows the Bible twice as good as I think I do on my best days. He's just a man of the Word. And at a certain point, he decided to invite some of his co-workers to a Bible study. Now, he says he was very cautious. He didn't invite everyone, and he didn't certainly invite it as a necessarily a mass email. He individually invited people he thought might be open to the idea of coming to study the Word. Well, he was right in his motivation, but wrong in that one person said they were offended. And that led to Nate, unfortunately, having to deal with the HR department of this major bank and get a mark on. He wasn't let go, but he's got a mark on his record in the book, which he says can be problematic at times. That is to say, friends, that if we're following this Jesus Christ the way we're supposed to, we're going to run into the bumps and scrapes along the way, like my buddy Nate. But the Word tells us that when we suffer for Christ, that God is with us. I'm telling you, you can't lose in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:14. "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled." When the world presses back against our proclamation of Christ, we can be certain not to have fear because we will not be troubled. 1 Peter 5:10 takes it even further. "And after you've suffered a little while, the God of all grace who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you." What this is telling us is that as we do our jobs as Christians, God is going to be with us, never leaving us, never forsaking us. Friends, I tell you, you just can't lose in Jesus Christ. You just can't lose in that one holy man. We recognize, friends, that in our lives of discipleship, we will come across difficulties and obstacles, but we do so with the sure knowledge of what Jesus shares with us in the Gospel of John. Jesus says this. He says in John 10:10, The thief comes only to steal and destroy and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Then just one chapter over in John 11, 25 and 26, Jesus says this. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet they shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. What Jesus is telling us is that as we pursue a life of discipleship in him, we're going to experience an abundant life now, giving way into an eternal life in the kingdom to come. That's the good news proclaimed this day in particularly, that death has no sting on those who believe, and that even as we suffer for Jesus Christ is there with us always because God says so. In John 14, 26, Jesus tells his gathered disciples this, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all the things and remind you of everything I said to you. But it isn't the case that all of our suffering is going to come through being faithful disciples. There are other ways that the rain pours down on us. And certainly, one of the things that I've experienced being a pastor now for over 15 years is that there is an awful lot of sickness and illness that can come into our world and discombobulate it and can really change the way we feel about things. But what the Word tells us is that we're never left alone, we're never forsaken, that Jesus is with us always. You can't lose in Jesus Christ. It says this in 2 Corinthians 1, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all of our afflictions so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. This means that as we run into difficulties, as the storms in our lives swell up and rage all around us, that we're never left alone, that he is always comforting us. I've seen this comfort come to people in the most amazing places, and even when life is on and death are on the line. One of the most vivid memories I have was when I served as a chaplain at whatever they call Carolina's Medical Center is now. What is it? Atrium Health? Atrium. When I was a chaplain at what would become Atrium, we saw this a lot. But one time in particular, I was summoned to a cardiac care room. That was a room designed for patients that were having cardiac episodes but were not in the moment in any immediate danger, but they needed to be followed. So this woman was hooked up to all sorts of things. It was exactly the recipe for the kind of anxiety that many of us would feel under those circumstances, with life hovering so preciously close to death. But there was a calm repose about the woman, even as I came in. She had requested a chaplain, so I came in there thinking I was needed to soothe the woman. But what I found over the next hour of visiting with her was that she was doing far more calming of me than I was soothing her, because she had an amazing story in faith, and she kept coming back to this one declaration from Psalm 34. She kept coming back to Psalm 34, 19, and she would say, Many are the affliction of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. She had memorized that verse of Scripture as a way of helping her remember what we remember today, that you can't lose in Jesus Christ. That Jesus is with us as we suffer. He surrounds us in his watch, care, and love. Guys, I wish you could experience the many years of ministry as I've had. There is a dying grace. There is a grace that comes upon believers as they prepare to enter the kingdom. And it is a peacefulness that surpasses all understanding. It is an amazing thing. I know many of you have seen it as well with your own eyes. That God is with us in our suffering all the time. He will never leave us, never forsake us. That's the promise. So that even when we suffer with illness and disease, we know we're never alone. You just can't lose in Jesus Christ. Amen. There is suffering and sickness, and Jesus says to us this in Isaiah 41:10, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And then again in Psalm 62. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Imagine that. When the rains come and the storms batter at your house, isn't it good to know that you won't be shaken? You won't be shaken because the Holy Spirit will be drawing ever closer to you. Psalm 34:18 says that God draws near to the brokenhearted and raises up those who are crushed in spirit. So when we reach those times of struggle, of dismay and despair, we can know that God is with us in a specially close fashion by the power of his Holy Spirit. But what about those times where we've created the mess? What about the times where our sin and our shortcomings with God lead us to suffering and to difficulty? Does God leave us to suffer in silence? No. God tells us a different story. Psalm 40, verse 2, says this. He drew me up from the desolate pit, out of the miry bog, and set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. I'll never forget going to baseball camp when I was about 10 or 11 years old. And they gave us some instrumentation the day before that we were really supposed to have listened to and told to our parents, that we needed to come with a change of clothes and some shower gear because we were going to get dirty. Now, unfortunately, that was a message that I didn't get to remember and didn't tell my mom or dad, so I showed up that day just like a normal camp day. What we found was that they had muddied the field deliberately around second base. What they wanted us to do was to practice sliding. And one of the ways that they made it a little safer for us and so that we wouldn't get cut is by wetting it down. Which meant, of course, after about an hour and a half of practicing sliding in a muddy bog, we were a mess. That's when they invited the rest of the gang to take a shower and to get on their other clothes, which they did. And I was left in that awful state. Now, look. I don't know if you've ever had mud starting to cake and dry around you, but it doesn't feel good. And I was a mess. But what a joy it was to see my dad's Chevy Blue Impala, his company car, tooling toward us. At first, I was really afraid because I knew it was a company car. I wondered if Dad was going to even let me in it. But he went to the back seat and got out some stuff and put it in the back so I wouldn't mess up the car. He drove me home, and I'll never forget taking a shower, thinking maybe he was mad at me, but getting out of the shower and finding some Burger King that he had gotten us. He wasn't mad. When I think of that, pulling me up out of that miry bog, I always come to Psalm 42, and I realize that just as my Father redeemed me that day from the mess that I had created, so too does Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, get us out of the messes that we make in our lives. We read the parable of the lost sheep and realize that Jesus will leave the 99 behind to come and get the one that's lost. And sometimes, if we read the Bible, the one that's lost is us. And he comes and retrieves us, throwing us over his shoulders and carrying us back to the safety of the flock. Friends, there is also suffering that comes in the time of grief as we mourn the loved ones that we have lost. But we are not left alone. We are not left alone because we remember Matthew 5:4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Friends, part of our comfort today comes from the sure knowledge of what happened this day over 2,000 years ago. This day over 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ emerged from the tomb. We know he did because of the stories that are given to us in the Bible and the faithful witness of believers from that day forward. We exist in an ongoing continuum with them. We are united to the same Lord by the same Holy Spirit, and we proclaim the same good news that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and that one day, dear friends, Christ will come again in glory. He will take us all, giving us imperishable bodies. We will be taken to the kingdom of God, where we will enjoy peace and security and provision forever and ever. It'll be such a joyous place that even our voices will sing. We'll sing with the joy of the redeemed. We'll sing with the knowledge of what has been done for us in Christ Jesus. We will rejoice, and I hope that day, we will say what we were going to be saying a lot over the next couple of weeks. You just can't lose in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We come now into a time of prayer, having our hearts rectified by the reading and proclaiming of the word. We are now in a position to lift up to God those supplications and intercessions that weigh upon our heart. So I invite you to join me as we pray. Almighty and eternal God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you've drawn us here this Easter morning to celebrate your resurrection with the believers. Thank you, Father God, for drawing us here, waking us up this morning and delivering us to this place of joyful remembrance. Joyful because of what happened this day, Christ emerging from the tomb. Father God, just as Jesus looked to you, so do we look to you, Father, as we make our prayers of intercession and supplication, knowing and believing that not only does God hear our prayers, but that he does indeed respond. So with the faithful, we lift up in prayer all of the names on the Cook's prayer list, especially noting Deborah Dean Johnson. We're praying for Jack McClure and Marcia Sifford. We pray for Patty Brown and Nancy Smith. We continue our prayers for this nation and for all of those whose lives have been disrupted either by shooters or by wildfires or by floods. We recognize many people are in a season of rain falling around them. And so we pray for them, knowing and trusting that you are providing for each according to their need and revealing ever so preciously Jesus Christ to everyone as you care for them. We make these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we conclude them with the prayer Jesus taught us, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise. Friends, this morning we're blessed to have our prayer room open. If you have a prayer request, if there's something weighing upon your heart that you would like extra prayer for, if you'd like to dedicate or rededicate your life to Jesus Christ, it's a great place to do it with supportive and loving people. So please avail yourself of that. It's in the prayer room right behind the sanctuary. If you're not familiar, somebody will be happy to direct you, and myself included. Friends, you can't lose in Jesus Christ. You are protected today, tomorrow, and eternally by the one who's come and showed us love most resolutely in Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. In Christ's name, amen. My Redeemer.